All right, Proverbs 14:14. I think we can read the verse while they continue to hand that out. Notice the Bible says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." Let's read that together, as we've been doing on Wednesday nights when it's been one verse. Ready? Begin. "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." All right, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this evening. Again, it's a joy to be here tonight. And it is a privilege to stand behind this pulpit and preach your word. But Lord, I realize without you, we can do nothing. I cannot preach without you. We cannot listen without you. We cannot understand without you. So we pray, Lord, that you'd work this evening by your Spirit. Give us understanding. Fill me afresh and anew with thy Spirit as I preach your word. And may your word go forth tonight with power and clarity. May we sense your presence this evening and hear your voice. For you told us in your word, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." And so please bless the message. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an old, all too familiar story that is told of a young man who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. How many of you remember when you got saved? Would you raise your hand and smile like you're happy about it? Amen. All right, that's good. Well, that young man was soon after scripturally baptized, as he should have been, became a member of a local New Testament church. I'm sure a Baptist church. Amen. Just saying. And for several years, of course, he was faithful to all the church services. He was there, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. He was there. He was there for special services. He faithfully served in a church ministry. I mean, this young man was growing. Amen. He was faithful to giving and his tithing and faith promise. And he regularly prayed and read his Bible, of course, every day. Went soul winning. It was part of the visitation program of the church. We would look at that young man and say, "Boy, he was on fire for God." But that's really just New Testament Christianity.
Amen.
We're just so not used to it, we call it being on fire for God. But as time progressed, that young man began to drift away from the things of God. He first stopped coming Wednesday night. You know, had things to do. Then Sunday evening stopped coming. And then Sunday school stopped that as well. Didn't show up for soul winning anymore. Didn't go out on visitation. His giving began to wane, and his enthusiasm for the work of God was gone. By the way, that breaks the heart of every pastor when he sees that.
Right.
And he would give every excuse in the book as to why he was doing this and tried to justify his behavior. But the truth of the matter is this. He wasn't what he once was.
Right.
One day that young man noticed that his watch wasn't working right, and so he looked at it, changed the battery, played around with it, and couldn't find what was wrong with it, so he decided to take it to a shop. And so he found a shop that fixed watches, and he brought the watch in for repair. And when he entered into that store, he recognized the man behind the counter. It was a deacon of the church.
Amen.
Trying to avoid any spiritual conversation, he said hello and placed the watch on the counter. And the deacon, knowing who he was, but just, you know, went with business as usual for now, said this to him, "What seems to be the problem with your watch?" The young man answered. He said, "It's just not working like it used to." The deacon looked him in the eye and said to him in a loving voice, "That sounds like someone I know." It broke that young man's heart, and that following Sunday, he went back to church, and he got his life right with
the Lord.
Amen. Now, for some time now, we've been dealing with the subject, as you noticed on your handout. If you've been here on Wednesday nights, you know it's wisdom from above.
Amen.
And that phrase is taken from James chapter 3 and verse 17. I won't read it for time's sake. But the idea of this series is this. It said, our God desires His children, those of us that know Him as Savior, to choose to live our lives using His wisdom.
Right.
Wisdom from above.
Amen.
In other words, He wants us to live our lives according to His Word.
Right.
To live our lives based on the instructions given to us from an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving Creator God.
Amen.
Who knows man and knows the beginning and the end.
Praise the Lord.
By the way, we find this wisdom that God has from His Word.
Amen.
Jesus Himself said, "Thy Word is truth," in John 17 Amen. And verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1 says this, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Here it is. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. That's the purpose of this book of Proverbs. It's really the purpose of the whole Bible.
Amen.
But in particular, the book of Proverbs. God says, I want you to know wisdom.
Amen.
And I want you to live by my wisdom.
Amen.
And understand, when we live according to His Word, our God blesses us. And we experience the joy that He wants us to have. We experience the abundant Christian life that He promises us. And we produce much fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. All of that will happen if we choose
Amen.
Wisdom from above.
Amen.
But there's another option. That option, of course, that's available to God's children, is that we can choose to live by the so-called wisdom of this world. It's not wisdom at all, by the way.
Right.
The wisdom of this world is the way the world tells us to live. That's kind of funny, isn't it? It's the ideas and philosophies of the unregenerate.
Right.
Those that do not know God. Fallible, fallen man, corrupt man, of whom God describes this way. Think about this for a moment. Who in the world would follow someone that is described this way in Romans chapter 1? Being filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them, that do that. Why in the world would we follow their way? But many do. Many believers do. So the question is this, which wisdom will you and I follow? Wisdom from above or from this world? Now tonight we're looking at one verse again, Proverbs 14:14. Notice the Bible says this. This is wisdom from above.
Amen.
He says, a backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Tonight we're going to look at dealing with the subject, a wonderful subject tonight, backsliding.
Amen.
The backslider. And I want to preach on this subject. Notice the title, The Wisdom of Recognizing and Returning from Backsliding.
Amen.
What exactly is this backsliding? Why does God tell us, watch out for it, be careful?
Right.
Let's look at that this evening. Notice number one, if you would please, the reality of backsliding. The reality of backsliding. It's a real thing.
Right.
It's a real possibility. May I say this? For all of us.
Amen.
Nobody's too smart. Nobody's too
right.
spiritual. We all are men
right.
with a fallen nature. All of us have the possibility of backsliding.
Right.
Now here in Proverbs chapter 14, we find this word introduced to us for the first and only time in the book of Proverbs. It is the word backslider. Hasn't appeared yet here in the book of Proverbs. Now the word backslider and its forms, backslidings, backslide, and so forth, are found 17 times in the Bible. All of them in the Old Testament. Now, certainly that does not mean that there's no such thing as backsliding in the New Testament age. We'd be foolish to think that. Many New Testament saints have practiced it, and some are very good at it, by the way, and proved it not to be true. That was a joke, by the way. Maybe not so much. But a New Testament synonym for the word backsliding would be perhaps the phrase found in Hebrews chapter 10, the idea of drawing back. We read in verse 38 and 39, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, there it is, same idea, backsliding. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Another phrase could be not only draw back, but to fall away from Hebrews chapter 6. If they shall fall away. It's my belief that's speaking of backsliding.
Right.
To renew them again unto repentance. In other words, you don't have to get saved again. You just have to get right with God. But the word backslide and its forms are found, yes, one time here in the book of Proverbs, but then in only two other books of the Bible. Jeremiah and Hosea. 12 times in the book of Jeremiah and 4 times in the book of Hosea. And every time, mark it, every time that it's used in reference to God's people.
Amen.
God's people. Jeremiah used it when referring to Judah and at times Israel, both of them that had backslid on God.
Right.
Hosea did the same. He used it primarily when referring to the northern kingdom of Israel that also backslid from God. But what exactly does it mean to be a backslider? Let's look first of all, letter A, the definition of backsliding. Now there are three different Hebrew words that are used that are translated backslide. The words sug, meshubah, and shobab. I practiced that 3 times before the service, so you should say amen right there.
Amen.
And they all basically mean the same thing. It's really simple. It means this. Notice, to go back. To turn away. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines backslide this way: to turn gradually from the faith and practice of Christianity. It says one who neglects his vows of obedience. In other words, there was a time when I said, yes, Lord, I'll do this. I said yes to God, but now I'm going back on that. I'm changing my mind, if you will. I'm going backwards. I'm turning away from that promise. I like the Century Dictionary. It says this. It is a falling back in principle or practice. It is an abandonment of religious obligations. Same thing I said a moment ago. One who abandons faith or duty. Now understand, a backslider is not, I repeat, not merely someone who commits a sin. We all do that. It is someone who has taken a willful step backwards spiritually. They have chosen, as our verse says in verse 14 of Proverbs 14, they have chosen their own ways instead of God's ways, and they have settled comfortably in that place. That's what a backslider is. Kind of reminds me of Moses when he was on the backside of the desert. But the Bible says in Exodus 2:21, and Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah his daughter. He was out of the will of God. He shouldn't have been there, and he was content there. God had to get his attention many years later. So this word is used to refer to someone like the illustration at the beginning of the message, who is saved. They know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they had grown in the Christian faith. They had implemented certain Bible commands and principles into their lives. And they adopted certain convictions, whatever it may be. Things like being faithful to church, or going soul winning, or tithing, or reading your Bible and praying every day, or having family devotions. And then for some reason, they stopped. Drifted back. They regressed instead of progressed. That, my friend, is backsliding. And I repeat, it can happen to any of us.
Amen.
Commentator Adam Clark wrote this when describing the backslider. I thought it was good, so I wanted to share it with you. He said the backslider is, number one, the man who once walked in the ways of religion but has withdrawn from them. The man who once fought manfully against the world, the devil, and the flesh, but has retreated from the battle. The man who once belonged to the congregation of the saints, but is now removed from them. That's what a backslider is,
amen,
according to the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, how does that contrast with the wisdom of this world? Well, to the world, it's interesting. I was kind of investigating what the world would say about that. And the word backslider to them is primarily used for someone who fell off the wagon. In other words, they were once a substance abuser. This is how they use the word. Addicted to drugs or alcohol or something else. And they got clean for a while. Maybe went to some program and they were clean for months or years or whatever. And then they fell back into it. To them, that is what a backslider is. But that's not what a backslider is to God. That's not what wisdom from above is. My point is this, it is possible, it is absolutely possible for the world to think that you or me were one of the nicest people. After all, we show up for work on time. We work hard and we do our job well. We don't cause any problems in the office or in the workplace. We have good morals, people talk about them. We treat others kindly. We have a college degree, or even I've been married to the same person for a number of years. We own a home. We send our kids to college. We pay our bills on time. We stay out of trouble. We're the model neighbor and the model employee, and the world applauds you for that, saying, wonderful person, and they hold you high, of high esteem. But you can be all of that and still, by God's standards, be backslidden. They may say you're wonderful. In the eyes of God, He knows where you're at.
Right. Amen.
You're not faithful to church like you used to. You're not serving God like you used to. You're not winning souls like you used to. You're not excited about the things of God like you used to. You are backslidden, my friend.
Amen.
That's the wisdom of God.
Amen.
You see, God's people have a higher standard than the world. We do. And if we are not what we once were, according to the Word of God, then we are backslidden.
Amen.
See, that's the definition
right.
of backsliding. But notice number two, or letter B, the inception of backsliding. Notice what our verse says. The backslider, notice the next two words, in heart. In heart, the inception is the word you're looking for. Please note where backsliding begins. It's where everything begins. It begins in the heart. That's where it begins. You see, long before our outward actions or deeds are manifested, understand something has already begun long ago in our hearts and in our minds. You see, this is the root of backsliding. It starts in the heart. That's why we're told throughout the Bible, verses like Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Because that's what backsliding stems from, the condition of our heart.
Amen.
Jesus said in Matthew 12:35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Where does that good behavior come from? It stems from the heart. Where does that evil behavior come from? It stems from the heart. Where does backsliding come from? It stems from the heart. That's where it all begins.
Amen.
And outwardly, understand, we can look just fine. We can be doing all the things that we know a Christian ought to do. But inwardly, we can begin in the mind and in the heart to backslide by embracing unbiblical thoughts that, if not dealt with, if not corrected, if not replaced with biblical thoughts, that will lead to unbiblical actions. But it all starts in the heart. I came across a man by the name of Ted Perkins. I don't know him. There's no indication that he's a Christian. I just got to look into some of the things he's doing. And he produced a video for what's called Recovery TV. It's about addictions and so forth. It dealt with that worldly definition of backsliding, with being someone who fell off the wagon and so forth. And the video is entitled this, Tips and Tools for Recovery That Works. Now, he said this. He said, quote, backsliding first takes place on a psychological level. You begin to notice unhealthy thoughts about your substance of choice. You play with the idea of, quote, just using one time or just on weekends. And you say to yourself, I can handle it. And he goes on to say, and you must recognize these thoughts and address them before they turn into actions.
Right.
Now, I don't agree with everything he stands for, but that was pretty good right there. Because that's where it starts. Backsliding starts in the heart. He gets it. The question is, do we? You see, it's the same principle with spiritual backsliding. When I start having these thoughts, these unbiblical thoughts, and we start saying to ourselves things like this, well, it's no big deal if I miss a service here and there. You know, I'm tired or I have to work overtime. Or it's no big deal if I, you know, we watch one worldly movie. You start thinking those things and wrestling those things in your mind. Understand, you're on the path to backsliding. It's actually already beginning in your heart if you don't address it. We say, it's no big deal if I don't give after all. You know, it's tough times today. Everybody's struggling these days. Other people will witness. I don't have to go. And you know, missing one day or 2 days of Bible reading and prayer. What is the big deal? Be careful.
Amen.
Be careful. The backsliding is happening already in your heart. You see, you may not have done anything, but if you're ruminating on those thoughts, you are already backsliding in your heart. This is a reality of backsliding. Can I ask you something? Are you there? What are you thinking about?
Good.
What's going on in your mind?
Amen.
What's manifested in your life? Were you something else before that you're not now? May I say this with all kindness? You're backsliding. You can get that right tonight. Get to that in a moment. So number one, the reality of backsliding. Number two, let's talk about the recognition of backsliding. The recognition. So how can I tell? How do I know? What are some things that that would be evident in my life, in your life, if I am in this state of a backslider in heart, what will be manifest in my life? How can I recognize my condition? Well, there's many things we could say, but I'll just give you a few of them tonight. Here's one of them. Here's a few. We'll look at four. The first one is this. The first characteristic is lukewarmness in spiritual things. How's your heart towards spiritual things tonight?
Amen.
Psalm 16:11 says this, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." Notice, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Doesn't sound like lukewarmness in his heart.
Right.
He says, "In your presence is fullness of joy." I'm in the presence of God. Boy, I'm rejoicing in my heart. You see, at one time, maybe you enjoyed your Bible reading. You looked forward to Bible reading. You couldn't find enough time to read your Bible. You looked forward to spending time in prayer. You looked forward to spending time alone with God. You liked coming to church. You liked singing the hymns. You looked forward to that. You loved the preaching of the Word of God. And when the invitation was given, you were the one first at the altar, frequenting that altar, because you wanted your heart to be right with God. But now? It's that way? Or has your prayer life become formal? Hurried? Brief? In case somebody asks you, you know, pray today. Yeah, pray today. Doing your Bible reading out of duty? An obligation? And you do it more to soothe your conscience than to feed your soul? The church service? Has it become routine? Has my voice become sounding brass and tinkling cymbal? A lullaby, maybe, to put you to sleep? Looking at your watch, can't wait till it's done. Routine, mundane, repetitive, unmoving anymore. It's just going through the motions. Something's wrong if it's like that.
Amen.
Something's wrong. That's a sign of being backslidden in your heart. The lukewarmness in spiritual things. There's another one, letter B. Not only lukewarmness in spiritual things, but how about a lack of self-examination? Do you remember the time when you were sensitive to sin?
Amen.
When things that were sinful shocked you, bothered you.
Amen.
Couldn't wait to get it right with God.
Amen.
And you longed about it. You were very careful about things that came into your home, the places you went to, the things you were chose to listen to. You would like the psalmist in Psalm 139 that said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You sought for God to seek to search your heart because you wanted to be right with Him.
Praise the Lord.
You wanted Him to reveal the things in your life that needed to be fixed and changed. You went to the altar when God spoke to you, and when you felt He didn't, you went to the altar because you thought you missed something. Because you want to be right with God. But now, you don't want to take an honest look at yourself. You'd rather overlook what you are, not face it. Ignore it. You know, this way I don't have to deal with it. That's the sign, my friend, of being backslidden in your heart. It's another sign. There's a third sign, letter C, and that is this, a longing for worldly things. You say, how do I know if I'm backslidden? Here it is. Are you lukewarm in spiritual things? Do you lack self-examination? Don't admit when you're wrong? Do you long for worldly things? James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And you took that verse seriously.
Amen.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so you did your best to stay away from worldly things. The things of God were always first in your life. How about now?
Good.
You get more excited about politics? Sports? Oh, I said it. I know football season started, right? You know all the players on the team's names, but you can't say the books of the Bible. Because that's what interests you more. Now, I'm not saying it's necessarily wrong to have that interest to watch those things. I'm not saying that. But if it's more than the things of God,
amen,
something's wrong.
Amen.
If a sport or a hobby or going on vacation is more exciting to you than the missions conference and Jubilee and the things God's doing in the church house, I'd have to say something's wrong.
Amen.
By the way, I'm holding my hand up and saying guilty.
Amen.
There's a fourth thing that's a sign, and that is this, the loss of spiritual power.
Good.
You know, as a preacher, one of the most important things we want is the power of God.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Because without that, it's all in vain. Our words
Amen.
Will fall to the ground.
Right.
We can do all the studying we want to do. We can have the nicest outline we can have.
Right.
We could be as eloquent and winsome as anybody on the face of the earth. But without the power of God, it's
Amen.
All in vain.
Right.
And by the way, it's like that for all of us. You work a bus route, you should desire the power of God.
Amen.
You work teach a Sunday school class, you need the power of God. Moms, dads need the power of God to live the Christian life. That's
right.
What you need. But when we're backslidden, we lose our spiritual power.
Right.
I mean, we used to see souls saved.
Praise the Lord.
Used to see people's lives changed.
Amen.
That God used us in their lives.
Good. Amen.
Our bus route was growing and my Sunday school class was growing.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
But now? Seems kind of flat. John 15:4, Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in me. No more can ye except ye abide in me." We cannot produce fruit without walking with God and being right with God. If we are a backslider in heart, we can put all the human energy forward that we can muster up.
Amen.
But we'll never see what we could have seen if we weren't right with God. I like what Baptist preacher William Buck said. He lived from 1790 to 1872, Baptist preacher in the South. He said, quote, "The signs of backsliding are indifference to prayer and indifference to self-examination, trifling or unprofitable conversation, neglect of public ordinances, shunning the people of God, associating with the world, thinking lightly of sin, neglecting the Bible, and often gross immorality. Those are signs of a backslider in heart." It's powerful, isn't it? Can I ask you something? Do any of those characteristics describe you or me? I think we'd all have to say it at a time in our lives, yeah.
Amen. Right.
Maybe even now, yeah. But there's a beautiful thing I'm going to say here in a second, and that is point number three, and that is this: the return.
Amen.
From backsliding.
Praise the Lord.
The return. Notice what we read in our verse. "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." You see, one of the most beautiful things about our God is no matter where we are spiritually, no matter how far gone we are, no matter what we've done, and no matter how long we've been away from Him, our God calls us to return to Him.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
And He says, "You return and I will restore you."
Thank you, Jesus.
It's that
Amen.
Simple.
Praise the Lord.
It's that simple. I like what Jeremiah said to Judah. God said through Jeremiah, Jeremiah 3:14. He says, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion."
Amen.
Imagine all that Judah had done. They had witnessed the northern kingdom of Israel backslide, and they followed in their footsteps. And God could have said, "I've had enough," but no. He says, "Return to me, and I will restore you." Jeremiah 3:22, "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God."
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Turn over with me to Hosea chapter 14. The other place where the word backsliding is used in the Bible. Notice verse 1. Hosea 14. "O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found.
Amen.
Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein."
Right.
God wants to return.
Praise the Lord.
He wants you to return.
Hallelujah.
And me. If we're in a place today where we're not where we once were, and our heart isn't what it once was, and we're back here somewhere, guess what? In a moment, you can return and be restored to God.
Praise Jesus. Amen.
But there's something we have to do.
Right.
We have to acknowledge it.
Right.
Preacher, that was a good sermon. I know the guy who really needs that one. Boy, I wish so-and-so were here. That would have been a good one for him. Hey, how can I get the CD? I got somebody for this one. How about you?
Amen.
Could you honestly say tonight, I'm in a place that's good and I'm not, there was never a time that I was more excited about the things of God or more right with God than today. If so, praise the Lord. Hang out with me. I'd like to hang out with you. But I think probably in all of us,
Amen.
Somewhere,
Amen.
Including me, we say, you know, I'm not where I ought to be in this area, or this area, or this area.
Amen.
And if I'll simply come to God and say, Lord, I'm not where I should be, please forgive me.
Praise the Lord.
And help me. And then change those things that need to be changed. We will be restored to God.
Amen.
You know, that verse in Proverbs is kind of saying, that second half of that verse, is that the good man, he's not like the backslider. He's not filled with his own ways. He's satisfied with God's ways.
Amen.
And that's the way we ought to be.
Praise Jesus.
God will use a pure, powerful church whose heart is right with Him.
Amen.
And it's so easy for us to get our heart right with God.
Right.
Just admit where we are,
come
to Him, ask Him to forgive us, and He will restore us.
Right. Amen.
Let me ask you something tonight. Title of the message, The Wisdom of Recognizing and Returning from Backsliding. You'll never return. I'll never return until I first recognize it.
Amen.
But when I recognize it and I return, we will be restored. And guess what? The joy of the Lord comes back. Fruits being produced. Power of God's upon our life.
Amen.
Spiritual things will become a priority. God will do something wonderful in our heart.
Right.
If we simply say, yes, I need it, Lord. And I ask you tonight, do you need it?
Amen.
Let's pray.